Good morning.
Good morning. Hey.
And welcome back, you guys. We took a little break. But now the gang's all here.
What up? Back together again.
Okay. Back together. We're not known for our singing vocals. But we do have them sometimes.
But we can make some joyous noise.
We can definitely make joyous noise.
Nah. Gonna have a good time.
Yeah. Oh my God. It only gets worse. No, we're not doing that. Anyway.
From the Fat Albert movie.
I know.
Like when they just randomly just did.
Yes. That's what I said. We're not doing that.
You sure?
Positive.
Can we do the Rufus and Chaka Khan?
No, yeah,
it's
can't.
The same baseline.
No. Anyways. Oh my God. This is take the batteries out.
Something good.
You can tell they're excited to be back, and I'm happy. Just they have so much excitement.
I ain't excited. I'm just
I don't know.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Jesus,
gonna be on you like a spider monkey.
Oh my God,
you stay jacked up on Mountain Dew.
I stay jacked up on coffee, sir.
How was y'all's week? Oh God, I better not move my head too.
Slow down.
Darn you, vertigo.
Kim.
Hand position
versus microphone position.
She's
got to get her neck together.
Yeah. Screw that microphone. I'm sorry. But the microphone's right here.
Yeah, and the unit's right there, and they keep going. You don't hear it.
No, I can't hear it. We'll put it right here. We'll see if that'll work.
That's going to work.
Is that better?
So, Elbow, how was your week?
Elbow. As he talked about his elbow. That was.
Yeah, he's been calling me Elbow for years. But
anything that can go after an L.
Elbow.
You know, that was one of my many nicknames back in the day. Bo.
They should call him L.
Yeah. I honestly can't flipping remember past maybe day four yesterday. I don't know, man. Been all right. I'm here.
We're just happy you're here.
You know, I've been going through some things.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to say thank you to everybody who, supported me and the fam through our little time of a tough time. Tough time. It was a tough one. But the way we always talk about, keeping like-minded people around you and everything, that really showed up. You know, I try to pride myself on being, a solid dude. And it really humbled me to just see how many stand-up people stepped up around me. And especially you guys. You guys just, that was crazy to me. Because, damn, I haven't seen y'all more this week than I haven't seen all damn month. You know? But I appreciate it. It was needed. You know what I'm saying? Regardless. But, the love, I appreciate it. I can never, repay or thank anybody enough. But, especially you guys, like I said, on stepping back from that, because that's just, even though it was a little overwhelming, my period, my circle, my core, they stepped up, and that wasn't too big of a surprise. But then, it was like that ripple effect. So after, y'all stepped up, it was like them ripples started going. It was like, all right, so it was like from a little bit further outside the circle, it was like people just kept reaching out. So, and that just reinforced it, I got solid people in my corner.
Yeah.
And, it's very humbling to be that person that you know that you take your pride, you know, you take pride in for being like, yo, this cat right here, that cat right there, whoever, they always know if they need me, they can call me and I'm going to be there if at all possible. And usually, even if it ain't possible, I work something out, you know. So just to, you know, see all of that, you know, just return, you know, like I said, that just shows me, you know, that I feel like I'm on the right track. And if I'm not, that's cool. I'm happy with where I'm at. And, you know, but yeah, I just, had to get that out. Work has been working.
Always will.
We love work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Work has been working. The end.
Continued. It's work.
Yeah. How was your week, Juan?
No, Chris goes next.
Oh, my bad.
Well, you never got the flow. It's been that long.
It was.
We go to you, then you usually throw to Chris, then Chris throws to Kim because I have to go last because reasons.
And I was trying to change that for you, brother, and you just shot it down.
I'm okay with riding in the back of the bus.
I gave you an olive branch.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
Smacked it out your hand.
I didn't smack it out.
He did. Well, he didn't. I mean, you know, he grabbed it, but then he swept the floor with it and like tossed it to the side.
You know, I took the olive branch and said, I don't deserve this, sir. Let's keep us close.
Terrible.
Shoot. That's funny.
Go for it, Chris.
Oh.
Stop. It's a this funny. Your turn, Christopher.
Yeah.
I forgot I was eating.
Week was good. I kind of zoned out for a minute. I just veered. Week was good. Didn't do much work home. Like as always.
And remember, there's a two week span.
Yeah,
y'all have to recap. So,
because
Cinderella over there.
Nah, you know, just
I don't even know what you're talking about. I missed that one.
Because last week we didn't record because my foot.
Because of her foot
was incapacitated.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was
ugly.
You just can't be standing in my yard.
I realize that.
It was ugly.
But I never walk through your yard. I never walk through your yard. People who have dogs, I don't walk through their yards, period. Mm-hmm. But.
No, you walk through my yard, stay out the ditch.
Well, I was getting food, and the only reason why I walked through because the kids were helping me. So that was the quickest way. So I was like, okay, you know, and I'm trying to help one of them. It was Lloyd's little grand boy, and I was trying to help him carry something, and I kind of felt something, you know, whatever. I'm, you know, working on.
Yeah. There you go.
This?
Yes.
Yes.
Was it hitting it again?
No. It was cut out.
What do you say? Oh. Yeah.
Don't worry about what I'm doing, man. You
do you, man.
You telling your story. Yeah. I'm just listening.
Oh, my bad. What do you want it at? I have to hold it in my hand?
I want you to keep your antenna up because it's a wireless microphone.
Okay.
So when you're covering up the antenna,
you literally just cut out. Literally. It looked like you just walked out the door. It sounded like it really did. It sounded like you like walked out to the door and then come back, but you didn't stop talking. It just came back.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Let me show you how these things.
These are a couple of things that you need to focus on as we're recording because we have wireless microphones.
Okay.
One, you need to pay attention to the microphone and where it is in proximity to your mouth. That's called mic dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
The closer it is, the fuller the sound that we'll get. The further away it is, the further away it'll sound like you are.
Correct.
If you put things over the microphone between your mouth and the microphone, we won't hear it because it picks up your voice, so sound waves get blocked by your hand.
Let me see.
The other thing that you want to pay attention to is the positioning of the antenna. Because we're not using extremely high-quality wireless microphones. So, antenna positioning matters. If you cover up the antenna, think old-school cordless phones. If you break the antenna off your cordless phone, the signal doesn't reach the telephone.
Yes, it will.
So you have to pay attention to the position of your antenna so that it can broadcast to
where we're going.
Yeah, the transceiver.
Now you have had a period
I think that change works. Yeah. It may be a little uncomfortable.
Actually, I do.
It is.
Okay, this is where it's going to be.
You said voice dynamics. Now it's just make sure you don't cover up your antenna.
Yeah, dumb.
My antenna's not covered. It's covered with this.
That happened earlier. For now, just because you're paying attention. But anyway, week in review.
I thought we were still on Christmas, but we were just talking about Bigfoot Cinderella. Anyway, Chris, carry on. We'll talk about my Bigfoot Cinderella.
I done forgot what I was saying.
basically, you just got my week.
Oh, yeah. It was good. You know, last week, you know, just wanted to, you know, it was good as well. I mean, considering, you know.
Do we need to break that down, by the way? Did y'all say anything?
We did. We said that you lost your mom.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. Oh, no. I ain't losing her. I knew what she's at the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, she had passed away.
Stupid ass.
She in the
you lost the present in
the
this realm.
Of your mom. Yeah. Your mom.
See, that's too many words. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why typically people just say you lost.
Yeah, no, but that's that, but
you
that's
was like,
lost.
I ain't loser.
No,
where she at?
Yeah,
she was right there. Mm-hmm.
The and whole time. Body. Yeah, I mean, you know,
right.
For what I could see, I knew where to find it.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm gonna go pick up the rest of it.
I know.
Hey, then you'll really know where to find it.
I know, right? Jeez.
Oh my bad. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But yeah.
So I just keep forgetting what I'm saying.
Nah, the week was good. You know, last week was, you know, it was all right considering, you know, my main focus last week was to make sure my brother, you know, was good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, because, you know, brother to brother, and I literally consider him a brother. You know, I love him, care about him, you know, and I don't give a fuck. I'm with him, you know what I'm saying? Come hell or high water, I don't care what nobody say.
Yeah, you proved that one.
You know what I'm saying? So, no questions asked. We'll talk about it over a beer and a shot afterwards. You know that type shit. But other than that, man, it was good. Still 10 toes down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as always, always on the grind. But yeah, Kimberland, now you can talk. Bet you ain't got shit to say.
No. Last week was a busy week. Well, it was a full week. Last week I got off of light duty. Yeah. Last week I got off of light duty.
She messed her finger up one week, and next week is a foot.
Yeah.
And by the way, people, if you would have seen Kim's foot, it would have scared the shit out of you. It was ugly as hell. It was the best horror movie I've seen, and it wasn't even a full 2 hours. It was just a full minute.
Think Hammer's Toe from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Without the throb.
Yeah.
If you pause it when right before it starts to contract again,
that was a huge bitch.
Honestly, just looking at the picture, I imagine that it was throbbing.
I imagine the throb. Yeah, I was scratching it was itching, it was terrible. Mm. Anyway.
Did it have a heartbeat, Kim?
Felt like it.
Oh my God.
It felt like it. Right there on top with a puff in the ear. That was anyway. But I came off of light duty. And no, I actually came off light duty this week, not last week. Yeah, because I came off light duty Monday, Tuesday of this week right here. And now I'm on vacation. But yeah, the week before, when we didn't record last week, I went out.
Yep.
I don't know why.
You're back.
Now. Okay. I could hear me go out that time. Okay. See? Aha. Okay. Uh-huh. And my look where my antenna was right here.
But notice how good you sound to yourself, because you sound good to yourself to us.
Anyways.
The perfect mic dynamic.
Anyways. See, I went out again. See? That's all right. Tell me, that's all right.
Wait a minute, I wonder. Okay, let's try now.
Uh-huh.
See if that changed up a dynamic for sure.
What do you see?
There you go.
Okay. You had my mic messed up. Because
he didn't want to hear shit you got to say.
Why? Shut up, Chris.
Does it matter? It's for the people.
Oh, it's for the people.
Anyway, This week.
Everybody know Kim for
like, oh, that sounds a lot better.
It does. I don't know what you did.
It sounds crisp.
Yeah. It does. Okay. See, it was a keep setup. Talking. It was a setup the whole time.
All the time.
Yeah, got off light duty this week. I went and had some lab work done this week for my physical next week. I mean, whatever, you know. Because it's my birthday month. Yay!
Yay! Let the ass whoopings begin!
Yeah.
Arnold.
We don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do something.
You're damn right.
I thought we already knew one thing we were going to do.
What?
We're going out, right?
Yeah. We're going to do that. We're going to do that.
I just found out.
We said
98 Bistro?
We think. Yeah. I got to call and confirm. I got to call and confirm the reservation.
On Main Street.
Mm-hmm. Just on
it's right across the street from Bayou Blue. Blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think they can accommodate, you know.
Okay.
The
party, but anyway. Count me in.
Yeah. Expensive. No, it's not. It's really, it's not. It's average. Expensive. It's average.
It's good.
Yeah. I hope so.
It's pretty good because it's Thai. Really they good. Used to have like this really good lychee wine.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Lychee?
Yeah.
And it is Thai, right?
It's Thai.
It's Asian.
It's Asian bistro. Type, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm talking about Asian bistro. I'm down
with that. That's what it's called.
It is called that, Asian, but it's a lot of their food is like just like.
It's like an Asian fusion.
Yeah, oh, Asian
okay. Fusion.
I'm with that.
But hopefully, you know.
They got like bao bun burgers and shit?
I didn't see no bao bun.
I don't think they have bao.
That's Asian.
It is.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I know. But I didn't see that on there.
Oh, that's okay.
But yeah, we're gonna do that and enjoy. I think I gotta confirm the reservation. What happened? Oh my god!
I just noticed the camping picture up there. I remember seeing the pictures of the kids. Yeah, but the picture of us camping, I just noticed that.
That's always been up there. Yeah,
sure has. It just
different perspective.
It just I don't know.
It's looking from a different lens. Okay. Mm. Maybe his glasses are clean. Who knows?
I don't. Probably not.
He said probably not. But the week has been a great, great week. Fun-filled week. Always busy. But I'm just happy to be off until I go back to work on the 26th. Hopefully I'll be able to kind of just chill.
You got a nice little vacation, man.
You know, but hopefully I'm going to be able to. Yeah, I am.
You're going to be able to, but you're not.
I'm going to.
You're
going to
choose not to.
I'm not going to choose. I'm choosing to.
You sure?
I am going to choose.
Everyone, mark your date today. Now, within... The
it
next
don't matter.
24 hours.
It don't matter. No, next week. No. Next week. When we record next week.
I do have a class next. I have a class Tuesday that I have to go take. Mandatory class or whatever. Mm-hmm. But after that.
Is that an obedience class? Because you're not very obedient.
It's a class for work. We're getting new tasers. So I have to go take the stupid.
Oh, so you get tased.
Class. No, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
You just show new equipment. So we should have to. Get 4 hours of in-service, basically. Nice, but nice. But
God
forbid
you squeeze the trigger wrong.
Yeah. No, but these are different. These are not like the old ones where you just, according to what they say.
Do they look a lot less like handguns, so you guys are less apt to pull the wrong one and accidentally?
Well, I don't ever pull the wrong one because I don't carry a taser, but, you know. I
Kim says her
cold,
so
you say just straight up you just capping folk, huh?
I mean, well, for me, it's easier for me to justify a natural response of me smack. I mean, you know, I mean, open fist, open hand, you know, than me saying natural response is to pull.
Pimp hand strong, you know, pimp hand strong.
But you know, everybody does what they what's best for them. Put it like that. But anyway, other than that.
I'm like, my look, the nigga have a heart condition. He have a pacemaker or something. It'll kill him. It just be my look.
They'd be like, how did you tase that man? He had a pacer and activated his pacer and set him on fire or something. I'm like, God damn.
He just burst into flames. Look. We don't know what happened.
The motherfucker didn't listen to me. Told him to give me my 6 feet.
So he that's charged why. On me. I'm a firm believer in, you know, the de-escalation tactic and just hands.
It don't always work.
Soft hands.
Yeah, open hands. Soft hands.
Listen, I come in peace. But anyway.
Soft hands are good, though.
Soft hands are great. Yeah. Uh-oh, Juan, what you got over there?
You know, you take that palm and put across that jaw.
Or that, right there. Yeah, buddy.
Open hands.
Yeah, that'll hurt.
You just have to learn how to maneuver and navigate through life. But, you know.
That's right.
Welcome.
I'm a natural weapon. Wow. But
Kimmy Cigar.
Oh shit.
Kimmy Cigar Lee.
Oh.
She gonna be the next Charlie's Angel.
Ooh. Yeah.
I was just thinking she was the current Steven Seagal.
I think she's more of a showgirl.
Like not old school movies.
Like on The Last Steven Dragon. Seagal,
but like
Bruce Leroy.
Now, Steven show Seagal. The way he, have y'all seen how Steven Seagal like
looks now?
Yes.
He's yeah. supportly somebody right now, ain't he?
Very big belly.
It's hilarious.
He's big?
Yeah. He's
really?
Porkly, yes.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
Listen, like Chris said he's porkly. That's not yeah. nice, Chris.
No, that's
Chris says I can say that. Porkly. I used to be a little porkly fella myself.
I'm still porkly. A little wow. bit.
You okay, Chris. Anyway, Juan, how was your week?
Are y'all saying porkly with a K?
He said porkly. That's what I said, pork, like pork the pig, porky the pig.
That's cold.
Yeah, he said that. That's what I said, Chris just said that. We was quite porkly ourselves
y'all,
all the time.
Y'all been adulterated porkly and turned it into something that just sounds worse.
Yeah, it sounds it's much okay. worse. Like, he's really a pig. Hey. He's a fat pig.
Yeah.
Porkly yeah. the pig.
Pretty much.
My watch ain't watching right now.
It's not supposed to watch. It's supposed to just tell okay.
you. It ain't
yeah, my week was pretty good. I have, I've given up on Florence. Because I had her motherboard came in, and the one that I ordered said it was the motherboard for her does not fit. So I had to send it back to China, and I don't want to wait for another one.
You want to hurry?
Well, I don't want to keep ordering something that says it's the right part, and then it's not.
This girl always says the right part.
Well, when you, yeah, but I don't want to keep going through that. So. I mean, I could buy another because all I need is the robot base.
Okay.
The cost of that doesn't. It was just a fun thing to try to tinker around with, but now it's just it's not even worth the time anymore. So I'm just going to scavenge the parts, and I'll order a new little Florence base. So yeah, that
the week
that was pretty much the most exciting part. Oh. I am working on spinning up a little video conferencing server.
Oh,
I've got it spun up, and I'm just working on getting it to being able to connect multiple people to it.
Oh, sure.
So yeah, figuring that part out, pretty fun.
So everybody will be able to download it and
yeah, nice. Yeah. There's an app that's available. So everybody can, you know, just download the app just like you would, or you can just dial in, or you can just open it in a web browser.
Okay, you can share it in our the thing.
Yeah. Okay. After I get it going.
Yeah.
But
you're awesome, by the way.
I think that's those were the two biggest things. Obviously, you know, the previous week I spent some time hanging out with Elle, and I will say, this is. One of the cool things about it's an unfortunate time, but I honestly think it's really cool because those are one of the few times that like you get to see people that you haven't seen in a while. So it was mm-hmm. good seeing like yeah. some of the people that we haven't seen in true. A really long time
since
so
high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool. That's about it.
Bippity-bop.
All right.
Bippity-bop.
Yeah. I did see a few people.
Yeah, yeah.
What person I seen from school was Ricky that I haven't seen.
Oh.
I really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you
know, see
him in forever.
Like
Perez.
Yeah.
I see
Perez in past. Well, for me, it was because, like, I hadn't seen your nephews in, like, since they was little. I mean, right, like, yeah, seeing yeah, them, yeah. I was like, wow, y'all are whole grown-ups now. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hadn't seen Mallow Cups in a couple years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. At least a year, yeah. Oh, yeah. Home a year. Nephew. So last time he came home, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was good.
Speaking of which, he made it back safely.
Yeah, yes. yeah, he did.
I just seen him post up a video. So,
oh, okay.
Personal stalker.
Oh. Back at it.
That's beautiful.
I mean, a Facebook stalker. Or supporter. I'm a Facebook supporter.
I don't do Facebook.
Stalker is terrible verbiage. So, I'm a Facebook supporter.
Is there much difference?
Go get me one.
Yes. Yeah, because you support people, you know, you like it, you encourage them, you know, you give them positive feedback. Yeah, a stalker's more like,
I'm gonna see what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, I try to say, hey, keep, you know, whatever, whatever. So, you know, so
okay,
but. Weekly news.
So yeah, I don't have any news written down.
Do you ever have it written down?
Yeah, usually I'll like take time and I'll like, you know, post it and I'll post links to myself.
Good catch.
Good job.
Good catch.
Oh, my coffee hand's strong in the mud, bro.
But yeah, this week it's just I'm going off memory.
Oh God.
So and this is like a couple weeks ago. I mean, rulers of Venezuela,
yeah,
from what I hear right
that's
now.
That's what they say, yeah.
Which is, you know, that's kind of, you know, colonizer-ish,
mm-hmm,
which is pretty cool. You know, and then it looks like we're trying to also expand our reach over into Greenland.
Yeah, trying to
going everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some.
We own a world tour with Hobbit of Man.
Interesting stuff.
Paper towels.
Oh, paper towels on top of the refrigerator.
Because he doesn't like people to use them. Let me see.
I mean, it's napkins. Napkins. I don't have paper towels. Yeah. See.
He doesn't waste the roll.
But
You did. That's, I would say let Florence do it, but don't.
Florence is deceased.
Chauncey. It's the one upstairs.
Chauncey.
Oh, that's Chauncey.
Oh, Chauncey.
That's Chauncey.
Yeah.
Damn, I don't know why my watch ain't working, but.
But, yeah, let's see. You know, white woman got shot by ICE agent.
Did she die?
Yeah.
Yeah. She pow, 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 pow.
Yeah, there's like.
Was it in Missouri?
Minnesota.
Oh,
Minnesota.
Yeah, somewhere in wrong. I remember seeing it come across my Facebook feed or something.
Yeah. They got footage of it happening. She just making a 5-point turn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of. Wild, though.
Yeah. Man. You know, and that's the thing for me. I don't understand. They say ICE has been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing that it kind of don't make sense to me. Okay, if you're supposed to be a law enforcement agency, why you got to roll around with these masks on with your face undisclosed? You know what I'm saying? Like you are just a renegade bunch. You know what I'm saying?
I think because a lot of them are scared.
Yeah.
Not that justifies it, but I'm saying I think that a lot of them are scared because the stuff that they have them doing is like some of the stuff is kind of barbaric.
How your face gonna make you not scared?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, if somebody roll up on me with masks,
you trying to rob me?
I'm pulling two in the chest, one in the head. I'm pulling. Hey. Yeah, I'm dead checking your ass.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm
hey, they're getting two.
Yeah.
Tat, tat. One to grow on.
Whoa, talk about it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, I can see if you, you know, you come up, you got your ICE badge.
Yeah.
You got your face with your badge number, but why you run up on me like you straight trying to rob me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
I don't get
that. I think
that
me
part.
And you was talking about that last week while we was waiting on Kim.
Yeah.
But yeah, it feels kind of Gestapo-ish,
yes,
mm-hmm,
to me. And I'm not one of these conspiracy theorists, mm-hmm, that are like, yeah, you know, this is, you know, Trump's trying to take over or anything. But yeah, the way ICE operates feels kind of Gestapo-ish.
More recently, because they haven't always operated like that,
right?
They haven't.
This recent, and I did realize that they have been around. They just haven't. We've called them by their full name: Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that didn't click that ICE is the acronym for that. I'm like, oh, they have been a while. Okay.
Yeah. It mm-hmm. took me a while to. Because especially now, it's just ICE.
Yeah, ICE but, just sounds so.
Yeah.
I mean, because we don't call the FBI feeble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people are literally scared. And I know this to be a fact because I had one of my workers. He was like, hey, boss, I'm going to be out because I got to get sworn in. And for real. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, and he's from Tibet, and but he's like, yeah, he's like, I've been over here since I was five.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, but he's wasn't legal, but yo, he was happy as a fag with a bag full of dicks.
We've discussed that.
Oh yeah, I'm
we
sorry.
Don't know Retract. How happy
I'm
they
sorry.
Are.
It's just I'm, we don't I apologize. Know how happy I apologize. They are. He was ecstatic when he came back Monday,
word,
and he was like, yeah, I was like, "How'd it go, Ron John?" He was like, "Oh, sorry, I won't say your name." But he was like, "I got it. I got it." I was like, "Bet."
And that don't mean nothing.
Yeah, of course,
it certainly doesn't, because
I mean, you think it would.
The random white lady that was shot was an American citizen.
Well, see, that's the thing that I have a problem with, because it is too easy for them to say that, okay, I felt like my life was in danger, or, you know. But as a civilian, you have to clearly articulate that, you know, the situation, and that, you know, how you specifically, you know, feared for your life, or were in present imminent, you know, danger in order to take another life.
Exactly.
So it's like, it's the same rule, but it's still a double standard, because even though, you know, he may have been hit with the car, but they said the only injury was some internal bleeding, which is what? He got a bruise.
Mm-hmm.
He got a bruise. And he probably got a bruise because his dumb ass was trying to stop a fucking, you know,
SUV,
4,800-pound machine.
Yes.
I mean, is that really her fault? Because you think you're Superman because you got a badge, you know, that says ICE on it? So, I mean, I get it, but
I don't get it.
From well, I understand the how they're trying to say it's legally okay. The legality. I understand the legality of it, but I still see it as there being a double standard, and that standard not being equal, even though they're using the same law.
I don't understand the legality.
Because I was telling, it's like I was telling Chris last week. For me, it's okay. We send young 18-year-old boys over to foreign countries in combat situations, in small fire teams like that, and they aren't allowed just to fire on civilian population, and they're legitimately in conflict zones.
Yes, legit conflict. Five-man fire team. Four-man fire team.
Shouldn't we at least expect the same type of decorum for people within our borders?
You would
think. I mean, you're firing on people within our country.
Yeah. And to say you're scared.
Forget your fear.
Yeah, because
if you're scared, you shouldn't have signed up for the job.
Thank you, thank you. Because you just like you said, you're sending these young, straight out of high school people into these situations, and everybody's going to be scared. It's natural to be scared, fear.
That's how you handle it.
You know what you're there for.
Yeah, certain jobs is forget your fear. You don't get to just respond because you're afraid.
Right.
Which is why Kim don't carry a tape.
Facts. I'll give you some on that one, bro.
You ain't going to give me no kid.
I mean, because like I said,
if
an 18-year-old kid can face military justice for mistakenly firing on a civilian, why is it that a tenured senior, I mean, because they said he was there for 10 years.
Yeah. He's been a senior agent.
You've been there for a minute. You've been in this position for a while. Mm-hmm. You forget your fear at this point.
Yeah.
You ain't a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
Mm-hmm.
If you gotta take the car, you took the car.
Mm-hmm.
Your squad mates can then return fire.
Mm-hmm.
You fell on the grenade at that time, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll give you a Purple Heart and send your family a flag wrapped up. And I know this sounds cold.
That's facts.
For somebody that ain't in the position, but doggone it, certain jobs, you know what the risk is.
Right. Yeah.
Certain jobs, I'm sorry, you know you run the risk of not coming back home to your family tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You signed up for that crap. I ain't asked you to.
That's why I don't run tackles.
I appreciate you for doing it, but I ain't asked you to do it. So if you got to be a little scared, suck that crap up, Bubba.
Hey.
Yeah.
Or go be a teacher.
Yeah.
Go do something else where you don't. I mean,
well, teachers got to work.
I'm fearful, which is why I'm happy that I get to go. I have the opportunity to go and sit behind a desk, behind secure doors on a daily basis. Because if y'all had to rely on me to not be scared to defend y'all, y'all would be screwed, or I would be in jail because I would have shot somebody by now.
I'm like, but Juan, it was a like pizza he blinked. Man.
I was scared.
It was a pizza man.
I shot 18 rounds into
the wrong damn door.
Why'd you shoot? I told him, I said, give me your identity. Give me your identity. And Juan said,
identify yourself.
And so I just shot him. I shot him through the door.
I asked him for the password. I even challenged him. He did not respond correctly. I gave him 3 tries, therefore.
Be like, he got 18 rounds in it. Be like, but you only have 9 shots. Be like, I reloaded. I wanted to make sure.
He was still moving. I was taught to stop the threat.
Yes.
Completely.
And see, and that's what I'm saying, because they're using that same, you know, mentality or that same legal reasoning behind it, but it's totally different. It's like it's the same, but we're going to use it this way, and we're only going to allow, you know, you civilians to use it this way.
Yeah.
And that's not right. And even like you were saying with the ICE agents, I would probably dare to say that it's probably no such thing as an ICE rookie, because I don't see you. I mean, you know, you don't get that job. You've worked up the ranks in military or, you know what I'm saying, some kind of special operations and stuff like that. So once you get to where you are able to become an ICE agent, not only are you tenured.
You are trained.
You know, like that particular officer was tenured. Right. But if you think about it, he was tenured in other, you know, positions that were probably close to it that should have, you know, added to him being able to do what he's doing now without shooting innocent little white folk.
Yeah.
Who just can't drive.
Well, I don't. You know? Like I said, I don't really know, because I just think, like, even with ICE, I think a lot of people, they say that they have to be seasoned. I don't think they really have to be seasoned. They just have to have that skill set to get that job.
Well, yeah.
Border Patrol.
And you know what, though?
Okay. Border Patrol.
I'm willing to bet about
75 to 80% of their staffing are prior military.
So they can hold on to PTSD and stuff like that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If not coming from like a different type of law enforcement.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right.
Way up the
you're
chain,
right.
Yeah. You know.
You're right. Yeah. You are so
but
right.
I mean, not that that doesn't justify anything, but I'm just saying, like, you know, everybody who does a job, you know
in your head the situations that you're going to get yourself into. Mm-hmm. And you know that you are trained. And just like in the military, they tell you, that's when you take a deep breath and you rely on the training that you have. You just don't react, just like you were saying, Juan. You can't just react off emotion or feeling. Mm-hmm. You got to rely on your training, because you are trained to control the situation, regardless if they're erratic. You know what I'm saying? They teach you tactics to where you can at least disable the vehicle where they can't roll, or you know what I'm saying, or you know,
he could have popped around in the tire for that matter.
And, and granted, at the distance that they were at, you're not going to disarm, you're not going to stop the car before it hits you.
But
he's also right up on it, so it ain't like the car is going to gather enough momentum to seriously
unless he hangs on to it, trying to, I mean, you know, and that's my problem.
Which, that's the thing, because they said he did have a previous instance where he was dragged. So, granted, there's possibly some fear, but my contention is still, certain jobs, screw your fear. You don't get to operate out of that. I mean, like I said, if I can expect that, you know, as an 18-year-old, I can be dropped into a hostile situation and not expected just to go shoot everybody. I should be able to expect the same thing out of a doggone person that's within my borders.
I totally agree.
You know, a protective agency. That's ridiculous. Because that's the problem I have with, like, police officers that are fearful. Buddy, you signed up for it. I'm sorry. Yeah, this sounds really cold to, because I know I have friends that are in law enforcement. And so it sounds cold, but you know what? Certain jobs, you don't get to be scared. Yeah. You don't get to, at least you don't get to operate out of your fear.
I feel for your widows,
and I empathize. It would suck to have a family member that got taken out, but it also sucks. You know, you don't just get to operate out of your fear. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, because I guess this is kind of news or whatever, but just on the local level, like I heard the other day about, they were talking about firefighters.
and how firefighters, you know, have a high risk of cancer. Mm-hmm. Well, if you know that your family, you know, cancer runs in your family, you probably shouldn't be a firefighter.
Yeah, a black lung.
And I'm just saying that as a parallel to, you know what I'm saying? You can't operate out of fear, because if you, you know, even with that, or, you know, if you've got some kind of traumatic experience where, you know, you messed around and caused a grease fire when you was two, you know, you shouldn't become a firefighter, you know, when some, you know, when you get nervous when people strike matches around you, and then now all of a sudden you're supposed to be running into a burning building, and you can freak. I mean, it's the same thing. You can't operate. Yeah, you can't operate out of fear. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a firefighter. You don't get to be like, I ain't going in that fireball, so I'm scared. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a burning building. Do you realize that's a burning building?
I'm going to stand right here with the hose. I'm going to go and get no.
They don't get to do that.
Yeah. Right.
You can't. Certain jobs, screw your fear. You swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
You do your job. Yeah. You perform.
Yep.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
All right. Any other new news? I'm trying to think.
What about the tax? Now they got new tax rules.
I hear that they're supposed to be better. I haven't saw my accountant yet for this year.
Talk to my person.
So I don't know.
Talk to my person that does my taxes.
It's a short.
I know it's a shortage. It's got to be. But I'm not even moving it.
I know.
Oh. But they were saying for people who did overtime or whatever, they get a they'll get like a extra credit or whatnot. Damn.
Well, they're not taxing overtime.
Yeah, they're not taxing it. But if you don't put it on there, like I think they say you got to have your last pay stub of the year, you know, in order for them to see how much overtime you worked or whatever. Because being that the companies wasn't filing it or something like that, well, you know, they wasn't, what did she say? I can't remember her verbiage, whatever, but she was saying just like your last, if you did overtime, just make sure you have your last pay stub of, you know, the year, because it's like companies wasn't filing it or taxing it or something along that line. So that's where your other credits will come into play. But if you don't have your last pay stub, then you don't get credit for it. It's like you lose the money or something like that, or the credit.
Hey, but who ain't got their last pay stub of the year for this year?
You know. Some people might not. I mean, I don't even.
Or can't even get to it. I mean,
yeah. Well, some people might not. I don't know. But I was like, okay, that's
what kind of
that's good to know.
Irresponsible toddler are you? This is just January. You.
I don't even get a pay stub. So I mean, but I have access to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Online. Yeah. I mean, on your.
But yeah, I was like, is it going to make a difference? She was like, I don't know. Did you work a lot of overtime? I was like, no. So
I just don't get overtime.
Yeah, I try not to work overtime. I mean, you know.
Did you get any tips? Because, you know, tips are also not.
Tips I get don't count. I'm just joking.
Okay.
Look, I'm just joking. Yeah, the tips I get are not fileable.
Oh,
this is.
Yeah.
Mail tips.
Gauntlet.
All terrible. Y'all think.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. Well,
let's run. Are you ready, woman?
Run them.
Bam, bam, bam,
now, Chris has been terminated from the job he had.
I'm cool with it. Don't bother me a damn bit.
And how many? I think we had like six or seven.
Well, I'm gonna. I don't know.
I say pick and choose. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just
because we got several, but you don't. You know.
All right. Set a limit. How many we gonna do? Four, five, six.
I don't know. I know I wanted to do this one because I just want to know what y'all think.
Okay. Hope it ain't one of the crazy ones.
Give it to me now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's Drewski. I think you should probably set that up.
I'm going to have Wanda stand up here. Wanda, please. Wanda told us earlier this month that she could not have a baby anymore. So I impregnated her with the word of God. I'm going to impregnate everyone with the word of God. You gonna get pregnant with the word of God. You gonna get pregnant with the word of God. You gonna get pregnant with the word of God. I had somebody in the congregation ask why I'm wearing Christian Dior and Christian Louboutins. Because I'm a Christian and I walk in the blood of Jesus. Give them some praise. I'm a Christian first. And I walk in the blood of Jesus. Give him some praise. give them some praise. So we are raising funds for a project in Zimbabwe. Yes, we are trying to get our congregation over in Africa. Amen. We wanted to raise $4 million for that. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. That needs to appear today. We are not letting anyone leave until we reach our goal. Amen. Hallelujah. Life Savings here. Give them some praise for that.
Life Savings.
Apostle Richie says, baby, can you help me? I said, can you help me? I'm going to finish this word here. And I'm going to do the Christian version. Don't worry about it. I'm going to do the Christian version. I'm driving this Bentley Bentayga because I believe in Christ. Can you leap on your legs like a survivor? Can you leap on your legs till the money fall out your pocket?
Still praise the Lord.
Hey, come on, man. Hey, get your hands off my car. You gave tithes and offering?
No.
Back the fuck up, man.
Okay. Okay. Look. So for the
wait.
So that's the Drewski skit.
Yes.
Or it's little excerpts from the Drewski skit, where he's talking about megachurch pastors. He's gotten some flack off that because there are people that are that think that he's
offended. Yeah, he offended them
because they say he's insulting God.
He's not insulting
no.
God.
No,
he's insulting. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna. I was just giving
the
background on that.
All I can say is no, no.
You know,
I just.
I think because a lot of people didn't know that was Drewski. A lot of people who didn't know who he was, I think, thought that was a real like event. I mean, but
no,
anyway.
I think people knew that it was a Drewski skit, but a lot of from the things that I've seen, it's the people are offended because they're saying
he's
that
mocking
he's mocking God.
He's mocking God.
But he's not.
He's not. I don't feel he is.
I don't either. It's just it's the type of preachers.
Yeah.
People. Yeah, and that's why I said no. And to be honest, it's a hell no.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To the point where like who was it? What black preacher was that? Maybe like
Marvin Wines.
Marvin
Sapp, I'm sorry.
Yeah, where he did that little thing where he wouldn't let people leave till.
Yeah, I mean, these things have been done. I mean,
everything that he touched on had been done in the church.
Yeah, that's why I say no.
And that's the crazy thing. Everything that he did in that skit was things that have been brought to light somewhere in the internet.
Yeah, because for me, I think that people get their pastor. I mean, yeah, that is definitely mocking modern. And I'm not even going to say, because there are good church people.
Yeah, there is.
But that is mocking modern mega church culture is what that's mocking. It's not mocking God, because that is not God. God wouldn't be in a mega church, in my opinion. Jesus would not be in a mega church if he was around now. He wouldn't be. I don't think he'd be in a church. I mean, I think
he'd be out amongst the people.
Yeah. So, I mean,
he'd be at the liquor house if they still had him.
Yep.
They still
got him.
I can't find them. I'll be looking for them. But anyway.
Well, don't come by my house.
You got a house?
Yep.
Is it liquor in your house?
No. Yep.
You got the liquor house.
There is.
I'll be there in 10.
Hey, Larry. It did used to be the liquor
it
house.
It did.
It's got the heritage.
And there's liquor in the house. Because I've been drinking some.
Yeah.
She got them pretty flowers.
But
the four roses.
I do think that that's a good illustration, especially just listening to it without seeing it
yeah.
And you hear it, it's like, oh my gosh, he's really serious. And then once you really look at it and see it, it's like, okay. But I think that's a perfect example of how different people have taken, you know, the Bible and the word and just kind of put their own twist on it to appeal. Because for me, people go to church because they want to feel part of something bigger than themselves. You know, that's the fellowship part of it. That's why church is important, because although you can be a Christian without going to church, you still need that fellowship.
Yeah.
You know, the strength in numbers says it in the book. So, you know, but it's just, to me, it kind of highlights how gullible some people can be. And when it comes to, you know, religion and faith, sometimes I feel like there's a almost like a consumer type market. Okay. To where people flock to the churches that make them feel a certain way, you know what I'm saying? And they'll buy into whatever that pastor is saying because it fits them. So whether it's, you know, old school fire baptized, which usually that's not what the mega churches, you know, really stand on, or what you see. I put it that way. That's not what you see out of the mega churches. But it's like, that could be, you know, that could be something real, you know. And then especially when you look at the video itself, and, you know, and he's, you know, suspended in the air with some red bottoms, and he talking about, you know what I'm saying, you know, I'm walking in the blood, and he turns his feet up, you see the red bottoms. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But that is something that we could probably see some, you know, young new age pastor, you know, doing.
I mean, and in all honesty and in all fairness, the illustration is beautiful of walking in the blood in your Christian Louboutins.
It is.
That's, I mean, that's beautiful. And if, honestly, if I was in a church and the pastor did that,
you'd be like, that's a smooth song.
I'd be like, yeah, that preaches right there, sir. That preaches right there.
But now, the whole impregnating everybody with the word of God, and now, with that play on words, it still kind of made sense.
Well, see, now,
but then when you look at the video, and every time he say he impregnating, he up in the air. Oprah.
You get a car. You get a car. But that's what Kim was saying. All of the little excerpts that he did has actually been done
in the internet,
and that's the thing.
From a real pastor, a real pastor at a real church somewhere in the world. So that's the crazy thing.
Because I was on board when he was just talking to that one sister, you know. Gonna make sure you have this baby. But then when he started passing them out,
did you see the sister though?
She was an 80-year-old woman.
Oh, I didn't see.
Yeah, that's what I said. If you see it, it's so comical. But it's crazy because there are people who are really following these false people or whatever. I think it's here. I think it's in here. Oh, anyway, there are people who really follow these type of pastors doing this type of thing.
See, I wouldn't even say that they're, because for me, it's, again, taking in segments, viewing each segment in and of itself, other than being a great performance, I don't see anything wrong with it. For me, it's, and like I said, because everybody has their own, I mean, because I don't think any of those things, other than the last part where the press, where the guy's like, could you pray for my wife? And he's like, have you paid your tithes? Yeah. And he was like, no. And he was like, get away from my car.
By the way, he was in the Bentley Phantom,
That's the bad part. But
with the steel.
I have no problem with a pastor wearing CBLs or CLBs, Christian Louboutins. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with the theatrics. Because sometimes it takes that. Sometimes it does take the 45-minute shout session. I mean, I ain't one of those people that'll sit there and be like, do it take all that? If I'm ready to go, I'll just leave.
I'll leave you. I'm like, all right, we've been here 3 hours and
ain't got the message yet.
But message. Plus, different people need different things to get their nugget out. I didn't see any of the individual aspects of it. Again, other than him sitting there counting the money, that's kind of, you know, it made it look shady. But, I mean, you do need to count money after you take in tithes.
But the pastor don't count the money. The pastor don't touch them. It's not supposed to touch the money.
I mean, that's a denominational thing. The trustees,
that's who you have all those
one-man church. But, you know, but that also goes to where, you know what I'm saying, another misconception, you know, which plays on it all, is that, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, that money goes straight to the pastor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if they got any kind of sense or any, I ain't going to say sense, but I mean, you know, it is a business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether they're in a building or renting a building, there is going to be overhead that's going to have to be paid because, you know,
cause God cause will provide, but he don't pay.
Yeah, I was going to say, God don't send that check. If that was the case, well, shoot, everything would be on auto draft. Send it to God. Send it to my daddy. My daddy said he got it.
He paid it all.
You got his account number.
He paid it all. He paid it all.
He paid every bit.
Glory, glory.
But yeah, I thought it was a good skit because it did point out some of the, like I said, I don't have a problem with the theatrics that happen in some larger churches, because sometimes it's needed. Like I said, for me, the only two parts that, you know, were anti-Christian were the, like I said, the him not being willing to pray. But I do know that happens in some churches. And in any sort of an organized anything, you're going to get your bad apples. And for me, that's a bad apple situation. So I definitely don't think he was, you know, disrespecting God, because... No. God don't care about your church theatrics. God don't care about none of that. None of that is God.
Yeah.
That is all man.
That is all man. Yeah. And the people, I feel like that the people that get upset about that are the people that actually, like we were saying earlier, you know, they almost look at their pastor as God.
Yeah.
Or as a God. Or they, you know, they hold him in very high esteem. Yeah. You know, instead of, you know, hey. He's just as flawed as I am.
Pastor John is a man too, baby. Pastor John is a man too.
Don't blame Mr. Charlie. Mr. Charlie is just a man.
Yeah, he's
doing the best he can.
Trying to do the best he can. He's trying to make it in just like you is.
It ain't no guarantees for nobody.
All right. Y'all ready to move on to the next one?
Yeah. Well, and I know some of the ones I sent were rebuttals to that, so... if you look, I mean,
choose wisely, sir.
Yeah. Some good, some, you know. But I think I sent one with Drewski reply. Did I send that one? Anyway, I'm not sure. Because I think on one of the things I seen, Drewski was replying to his skit.
Probably comments and stuff off of
Yeah.
It,
yeah. But,
we'll do this one.
Just do it, Juan. Don't be scared.
Mistakes that I believe that I made in my storm was choosing isolation. I just disappeared from everybody.
It's not healthy.
It's not. It's isolation is so dangerous when you are in a storm. They say an idle mind is the devil's playground. When you are in isolation, you will start thinking of all the worst case scenarios. And here's the thing about your mind thinking about all the worst case scenarios. When you are so focused on a thought or an idea, you will find evidence to support it. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, your Instagram algorithm becomes full of things that are confirming these things for you. Suddenly, all of your Google searches and every time you open up the internet, there's going to be things you're going to... this thought that you're having, oh, you're a failure, oh, you're a loser, oh, you're not chosen, or oh, you're not worthy. And you'll start to feel more and more more unworthy. You'll start to feel more and more and more depressed. And it's not helpful. What you need to do instead, talk to a mentor, talk to a group of friends who are solution-based, not friends who want to hear more about the problem, but friends who want to offer more solution. Like, I heard enough of the problem. Let's start talking about a solution. But one of the biggest things that worked for me was talking to my community, like talking about it inside of Actionable CEO, talking about it on Social Proof, talking about it on Full Transparency Podcast, because clarity comes in conversation.
Yep.
And so, you know, yes, there is a season where being quiet will bring you clarity, but when you're going through a storm, you don't need to sit idle. You need to talk about it. And we've been trained, especially in the Black community, we have been trained that what goes on in this house stays in this house. We've been trained or programmed to be embarrassed by our pitfalls and our downfalls. We have been trained to be performative, right? And not real, not transparent. And once you break free from this performative behavior, once you stop pretending that everything is okay, once you stop hiding out, keeping the phone off and not responding to messages, once you actually say the words out loud, That's when you actually start getting clarity on things that you can do. So share what you're going through. Everybody is going through something. I've got friends who are going through things right now and they're feeling incredibly embarrassed about those things. And I'm like, do you know what we're going through over here? Through, like, invite somebody into your struggle so it doesn't suffocate you or suffocate your vision. You need people reminding you. And sometimes you just need to know that you're not the only one, because these storms can feel very lonely. Mm-hmm. It can feel like none of my peers are going through it. No, they're going through it. They're just not sharing it.
Yeah, 100%.
That one sounds familiar.
I was getting ready to say that we've done that.
We did that the week he wasn't here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, let me go ahead and get my little 2 cents on
go
that.
Go ahead
and
get your 2 cents.
Maybe I am part of the conditioning, or I am have been subjected to the conditioning she was talking about. But I know for me, as far as isolation and it being dangerous, maybe it's just because I'm an older generation or whatever, but it's like I can, by me isolating, I can lean in to that pain. I can lean in to that suck. I can embrace that suck, and I can use that to power myself through my storm or weather my storm. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying teetotally, you know, but when you got a good circle, inner circle, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And maybe that's why she said community. Maybe she has a lot of people mm-hmm. that, you know, she feels close to. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with being able and having that ability, because in my eyes, that's my freaking superpower. The fact that I don't necessarily have to go to someone, you know what I'm saying? Now, I may get some a little more clarity through conversation, but I definitely get my base, you know, direction that way. Mm. You know, where I can kind of sort myself out and be like, all right, this is where I'm at. This is where I want to be. This is what I need to do. And, you know, if I start here and try to get to this goal next, I would, you know what I'm saying, I'll be in a better spot. And it won't suck so bad, you know, get to that step, you know, maybe I have to take a rest or a break, you know, but I can work myself out of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes the people around me give me confirmation, you know, once I'm ready to open up to them, but I really don't see anything wrong with that. And I think that that's, maybe not a problem, but that's a difference. And I think that contributes to the newer generations and all of the new little catchphrases and emotional trends that have come out, especially as far as behind counseling and people supposedly just cutting toxic people out of their lives. That's a big thing. You know, I've been hearing a lot about definitely the social media thing. I agree with what she said about that, because, you know, if you do focus on something, you know, too long. And I guess that's where I differ, is because I can focus on something, but I'm not focusing on the bad, you know. I'm not focusing on mama ain't here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm focusing on life is, I'm still here, mm-hmm. you know, and there's nothing I can do about the situation. Mm-hmm. And I can talk to everybody in the world, but until I get that peace and that resolve within myself, to make that next step, mm-hmm. to figure out what my new normal's got to be like, then, you know what I'm saying? I'm just wasting my time, your time, and both of our breath. That's how I feel about that.
But we agree that isolation is not good. Let me stop. Yeah, he probably did. As a group. I mean, but when we say it like that, because we know, like, isolation, it's okay for clarity and to get your thoughts. But isolation long term is never good. And I think that's what, like that right there, she's saying, like, when people like isolate, you know, like you have people who just ghost. I mean, like, you don't hear, you know, they don't answer their phones, you know, they just.
Some people just don't want to talk to you.
Well, no. I mean, but you got legit people who disconnect completely.
Because there's a whole thing of suffering in silence.
Yes.
I mean, and
You know,
they'll do it for months, and that's where it's not healthy. Mm-hmm. That's where it's not productive. That's where it's not, you know,
stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
But for me, that's once again, that's, you know, the mindset. So mm-hmm. and I have no other way to really express what I'm thinking about it, mm-hmm. other than say that's a weak-minded person, mm-hmm. and
we know everybody is in the same place
right,
mentally,
right? Right.
So
right.
with that being
compared
said,
compared to where I'm at, that would be a weak-minded exactly. person. But compared to somebody else, it'd be like
some
you
people
know.
Have a lot of mental like fragility. They're very fragile in their mind, and, mm-hmm. you know, and not only in their mind but in their spirit as well.
Mm, talk
so
to that.
Those people are the people who. Probably do not need to definitely be alone because that's where the enemy really plays tricks with them, thinking that it's, oh, you know, don't nobody even care about you anyway, and ain't nobody, you know,
but,
all that
but,
stuff.
And so I'm gonna give a little pushback to you, Elle, on this. I mean, because even though
because the algorithms will feed that, I do.
Yeah, they
that.
Do.
But no, I'm because you had said you'd said that your thing is that you'll process it all on your own and blah blah blah. But that's because you see a therapist also, mm-hmm. so it's not fully isolation. You have someone to process through.
Oh yeah.
So and that's the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. I misspoke. You're right. And I wasn't looking at it that way. Yeah. But that is also one of my tools.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you definitely got to have the right tools in your tool belt.
But those people who do that isolation yeah. have nothing.
Right.
Yeah, and
right.
That's isolation versus. Utilizing tools because
as a tool,
I got you.
They have people who isolate have nothing but I'm gonna just look at TikTok. The worst thing you could ever do or look at these, you know, online, you know, just be social media because, I don't isolate, but I know there are times that I've looked at one thing and the next, you know, I get sucked into all these vegan restaurants in California. I mean, especially food. I'm a foodie. So I'll be looking, I'm like, oh my God, I got to go there. Where is it? Oh, this is in California. I'm gonna like that because I'm gonna go there one day, you know. And then it just keeps sending me stuff. And then I'm in Texas. I'm like, oh, well, this is a little bit closer. Mm-mm. I could maybe go here, you know. Oh, this was in Atlanta, you know. So they keep feeding in the algorithm. They feed you stuff that you like or you subscribe to or whatever the case may be. So if you're going through something emotionally or, you know, or you're trying to isolate and you're just on the internet just looking at stuff, you know, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's not necessarily healthy. But you also got to remember that, you know, you can't compare your real life to these highlight reels. Putting everybody, there are some, and it's also shown, too, that, you know, when some of these people, you know, you got some people that want to put all of their business,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, now you just look stupid.
Yeah but then again, you got saying? People that are just like, what was it? The other week, so I seen a little, I don't even know how I got on my thing, but I heard that somebody, black girl killed herself on her live or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
that's
crazy. You know, you can't feed into all the stuff that goes on.
And especially with all the AI and stuff. You know?
Well, yeah.
So, you know, but.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Very crazy.
Yeah. Next. That's okay. His two cents.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay because you
think
wait.
This
you didn't
is
miss
one
it.
From this current iteration of postings, I think. I'm pretty sure it is.
Juan, you're supposed to know. It says, doesn't it, on your Android device?
I mean, I can see the date when of the week that these started coming in. So this is starting on the 8th. So here we go. Like this.
Pay attention to this video.
And I just feel like love is just not enough. I feel like I'm here and he's here.
Okay.
And it's like I've been waiting for him and to bring him here, but it's like, how long do you wait?
Let me ask you this. Before y'all clap, just hold on. Because y'all know that's the problem with Instagram, right? You post something online, and because we live in an echo chamber, there's enough people in the world that will clap and agree with me, even though I have blind spots. So because we get validation, sometimes it's hard for us to recognize where maybe we could have made a better decision. Because in three years is a significant length of a relationship when you have have been single for a long time or you have been love deprived for a while, when you get into a new relationship, the love feels so good. The dopamine, the adrenaline, all of the oxytocin going off in my body, it feels so good. And typically, the hormonal effect that we get from our partners, our new partners, only lasts for about 2 years. So year three is where you hear, it's just not the same. He ain't changed. What changed was I'm no longer getting my dopamine hit off of your newness. So now I am annoyed by your immaturity. It's always been present. And you're angry at him for it, but I want you to look in the mirror. We owe ourselves an apology. We owe him an apology. Because I was using you as a dopamine hit. Because now that I no longer have the hormones making decisions for me and keeping me in this, I'm in love, right? Now at year three, I have to ask myself, do I choose to love him? And you're realizing that I don't choose to.
Pay attention to this video.
Yeah. That's the end.
Mm-hmm. The end.
Pay attention to this video.
I wish they would lower the music and, you know, lift the voice a little bit more.
Lift bad production. Voice. Bad production. Chris, how do you feel about that?
From what I heard,
Chris was listening to music. He's like,
"Well, no, because it sounds funny, but a lot of times I can hear. I ain't even gonna say I can hear better when I close my eyes and like slow my breathing. I can hear. I try to like
that makes sense. Separate.
Seriously,
that's that boy sniper training.
Nah, I close my eyes and I focus in. Try to focus in on the voice and but shit, I don't know. Nah.
Jesus.
Somebody else go.
Chris said pass.
You know, yeah, that pass. Next, I think I did share that video.
You did.
Yeah, and that kind of makes like sense to me. What about like the.
The dopamine hit
and, you know, the excitement of it all. Usually by that 2 year in a relationship point, I know for me, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I'm done. Look, it's terrible. But I can't say it like that, but usually by that 2 year, I start seeing things like from a different
lens.
Yeah, perspective. Like, I don't really think I can deal with this. Or
it took 2 years, though?
Yeah, usually. Crazy thing, most of my relationships, and like when she was, I was like most of my relationships was like a 2 year window, two maybe running into the top of three before I'd be like, nah, I'm done.
Really?
Yeah, y'all didn't do the And I'm not gonna say names,
You got me thinking. I'm trying to like, well,
off air. Yeah, I'll like do the math because I was like, you know,
I can see it.
Yeah, because most of my relationships were like long term, like you know, with exception for like, you know, any new people that's came in my like the past 4 or 5 years, they don't really even count. Mm-hmm. Sorry if you're listening, but yeah, they don't count because they were not, you know, around. Yeah. So most of the relationships I was in for like 2 to 3 years, you know, usually something happened in that time, and that's, you know, second, close to that third year, I was just like, yeah, I can't see myself being in this situation the rest of my life. I can't see me being muted. I can't see me being dealing with this the rest of my life. And I would just hit the release button. Yeah. And for me, it wasn't dopamine. It was just having that time to sit and be like, you know what? I like this. This is cool. But long-term me, don't think this is what I want. You know, and you just being honest. But see, most people won't. I mean, you know,
everybody
I said,
want honesty, but don't want you to talk to them honestly.
Yeah. So for me, you know, like when I end it with, and that's why crazy enough, me and most of my exes are kind of like still friends, because when we have our talks, you know, I'm like, listen, do you want this and da-da-da-da, you know, I want this, and do you want this, you know, like seeing on, if basically seeing we're not really on the same page. Do we love each other? Yeah, we, you know, you're a good person. I'm a good person. Does this mean we're not good people? No, it just means we're two good people that probably won't be able to, you know,
be good together
the rest of our lives. I'm, you know, the rest of my life anyway. I mean, you know, like you could, you know, I mean, and like I said, that's just me. But I was like, when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's crazy.
I don't think it would I don't see it will take 2 years. Mm-hmm. Give me a solid year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If that. I mean, but I mean, I guess it's kind of how you go into it to mm-hmm. begin with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know what I mean? If I'm just here, just chilling, having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, but
we,
could
we
you,
good right now? Yeah. See what happened.
Could you imagine it. You meeting somebody and, you know, y'all like, I mean, this is so crazy. Y'all hit it off and within like a year, y'all were engaged. Mm-hmm. So that's all like, ooh, yay, like excitement, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So then you have that time in between time, and life continues to happen. Like, oh, you know, life, you know, be life. And, mm-hmm. and then you look and you're like, golly, this is, you know, then you're going into like that, say, we'll say the third year, and you're like, I just don't see this going any further. You know, like complacency for most people become complacent after different periods in time.
I mean, like I said, it depends on the person, because if I'm with you 3 years and we just together, boyfriend, girlfriend, mm-hmm. I think that's kind of overkill. I should know.
Would it be different if you were engaged? Yeah. Because you engaged ain't nothing but a layaway. And like I tell
yeah,
you,
that's all it is.
I've been engaged before. And I see how men will secure the bag. They will put a ring on it. Mm-hmm. Just to say, well, yeah, we gonna. I mean, yeah, just when everything is together, yeah.
But you can lose your layaway.
You can.
You know what I'm saying?
People have lost layaway. Yeah.
True. But so, I'm just, you know, it all depends on the person and what they're going into it for. If I'm just here for a good time, not a long time,
yeah,
we good.
You know.
You know, but I mean, within a year, I would know if I'm, this is the person, look, I know I want to be with you. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it goes on, it's different strokes for different folks. Mm-hmm. People have different ideals.
Because like I said, once you start cohabitating with a person, and that's why they say you shouldn't cohabitate, but for me.
But that's when you really learn the person, when you start
cohabitating. You see a person when you cohabitate, or when you bring them in your world, or vice versa, whatever. Mm-hmm. Because you see their dysfunction, mm-hmm. and you're living in their dysfunction. And I tell anybody, it's hard enough for me to live with my own dysfunction, let alone sit here and deal with you and all your dysfunction, and have to be okay with it all the time and not really get an option. So yeah. You know, like I say, for you know, to each his own. And I know people say, well, you know, oh, you know, Kim, you know, you're just me, you're just this. No, I'm just honest. If I see something and I don't say something, that's not me. I mean, mm-hmm. that's me being really, really nice. But if I see something and I say something, if I bring it to your attention as a concern of mine, and you don't make it a concern of yours, and I realize that
you don't heed to hold on.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, that's just me, Juan.
I feel like I'm not Juan, but I'm sorry.
No, Juan's looking at me with a crazy face.
I'm curious to hear what he got to go. Yeah, I see the facial expressions.
Well, I just, you know, to the whole year, 2 year thing, you know, a lot of times when you meet somebody, you get the representative and not the real person. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it takes a year or two, at least a year,
that's
for the representative. You know what I'm saying?
For the real person.
But then at that point, it's just starting to fade after that year. Mm-hmm. That's when you start to notice. You know what I'm saying? So then if you go into it, like she was saying, you know what I'm saying? If you go into it, and by she, I meant the lady on the video. You know, if you go into it all love struck, and, you know, I love him. You're working off this dopamine and mm-hmm. all these other biological mm-hmm. chemicals that's going on in your body. And, you know, you're in love. So at that point, you're willing to do it. Okay. So, all right. Well, you know, I probably send in a representative too. Mm-hmm. All right. You know what I'm saying? But it's like going into that second year, that's when I feel like, you know, things start to shift and fade and stuff like that. And by that third year, and definitely at the end of that second year, I feel like that's when you really see, this is what it takes so far. And I'm already not liking what I see. But if you are really trying to give everything in the name of love, you'll put up with that for another year, trying to make it work.
That's why I say it depends on the person.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? But that's the, I can see how that happens.
Yeah, but I mean, I get what you're saying, though, completely. Yeah,
the representative thing is what I don't like, because I know for me,
Well, you don't have a representative.
I don't have a representative anymore. She's
dead.
No,
that motherfucker quit.
And I just, I don't get it when people are like, well, you know. I'm like, no, if you're my guy, I'm going to rock with you. If you're not my guy, I don't rock with you. And it's just that simple. I mean, we could be friends, and that's all well and good. But when the woman that I am when I go out is the woman who, you know, I am. No, I don't be belching on dates and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, there's gonna be a time when you come to my house and I'm
on
might
that third
belch.
Date, though.
You know, I might belch.
You will light them up, ain't you?
You know, I might be like, "Oh, excuse me," you know, I'm sorry. Because women do, we belch. We, you know, we can pass gas and all that good stuff. But we're not gonna do it in a rude manner. You know, in a rude, you know,
she
we're gonna
calm that down. Can you remember? See what you do it?
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yes, because I've gotten older and I, you know, I still have to be able to. Be a good candidate for wife material one day.
She's such a lady.
I'm such a lady.
Such a fucking lady.
Yeah, that's it. That's what she said.
But I think it's important, especially because we're older now. Mm-hmm. When you date, you don't date a representative. You don't show nobody your representative because you know what? We're too
old. For that
shit. Yeah, we're too old for representatives. Because if you don't show nobody your true self, then to me, you like trying to sell somebody, you know, fake gold. Because it's not. Yeah. You know, it's just not.
But you're an anomaly, though. The, you know, just you being who you are, you're a lot different than, you know, not saying you a unicorn, but.
You're not the normal.
You are a different breed.
I'm a unicorn. I'm not a unicorn.
Just a jackass.
But it's important.
Just missing a horn.
That's it.
You're close.
You know, but that's why I say it's important for people to be authentic. Yeah. When you go out and you're dating, if you date someone, you're like, listen, I ain't really looking for nothing. Just say you ain't really looking for nothing. Yeah. Or like, hey, you ain't really my kind of person, but you a good person.
But that comes with maturity, though. That's, I mean, you know, and I'm thinking more of, you know, late 20, early 30-year-old Larry, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, you know, 45-year-old Kim. Mm.
Well, and I am, too.
I mean,
I'm thinking my age now, but I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, just the fact that we've lived, you know, enough life. Yeah. To be able to, you know, to send, you know, to change that. But
even in younger dating, we dated for convenience.
All right. Well, yeah.
We dated for people to get us through situations. We'll say like we dated for that. And we're not saying no names during this, but we could definitely talk apart. But when we were younger dating, we dated for convenience of the time. Mm-hmm. If somebody could accommodate you in a particular way, if somebody could benefit one way or another, or you know, whatever. And sometimes we were more the beneficiary. I mean, you know, we benefited them more than they benefited us. But for that time, it was what we wanted, you know. And I say dated for convenience. But now we're older, it's completely different. I would think it's completely different because, you know, we're wanting more long term. We want stuff with more substance. It's not more of a superficial thing. Oh, he cute. Oh, he look nice. Or she pretty. Or, you know, she got some beautiful long hair. You know, whatever the reason why.
Yeah,
y'all
now
might
it's
dated.
Like, damn, she got two jobs and two cars.
Yeah, you
and
know.
One of them already paid for.
Yeah, she making moves. You know, whatever. But you know, it's just like as we grow and mature. I'm gonna say grow and mature, but I think I've always kind of been
an anomaly.
No, I won't say different. I've always been mature, but I've always tried to be honest because, like I tell people, I don't know how to be nobody but me. I can't turn on for the people. I can't turn it off because I'll be done turned it off when I'm supposed to be on and, you know, vice versa.
You can turn up, girl.
You know, but I can't turn up for Jesus. Let me stop. Just, but, you know, I can still, you know, I can.
I'm sorry. So many bad jokes just came in my head so quick.
But
oh God,
you know,
that's horrible.
Oh, okay, Juan. Okay, we're gonna let Juan have
he
his.
He look like he about to bust.
He about to bust.
I'm definitely not about to bust.
Oh, because you be like.
I mean, we all know I think differently on the
that's
whole aspect of it. I don't get caught up in the hormonal emotions of love. That's not for me. Love is an analytical process. It is a decision. It's not. Oh, this person makes me feel good. From day one, I'm looking at the representative, what I think the worst case scenario of said representative is, and if I think that it's something that I can deal with on an extended period of time. It's all data points to me.
But at what point And I guess that changes from person to person. But how far do you go before you're like, okay, this is my point where, I mean, is that preset? Or is that like, okay, well, this kind of aggravating, but, you know, we're still good. And ain't that big of a deal, and I can deal with that. You know, at what point does it get, or does it ever get to a point to where it's just like, okay, now I'm to a point to where it's like, nah, I'm not feeling this. Because like you were saying, you know, if you've got your data points, and it's more of a transactional type thing is what it sounds like to me.
Transactional makes it sound bad.
Transactional but it is what it is.
That's what you're saying.
But nowadays, I mean, that's the word.
I mean, if when, then. Yeah. So, that's a transaction.
I mean, it's at whatever level I put is that I can't if I don't think I can deal with this on a long-term basis, I usually shut it off fairly quickly.
So what happens if you realize that you were wrong? Are you never wrong about how you feel? I mean, you know what I'm saying? So say if, you know, you're like, I can deal with this long-term. And then, you know, a year and a half into it, you're like, this is really driving me the fuck crazy. It got a lot worse than what I thought it was. Because you've already taken, per what you just said, you know, you've already taken that calculation, but you have no idea of knowing how bad that particular situation, problem, agitation is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So if it gets, you know, how do you figure out how long you're going to be putting up with it?
The younger you versus the newer you.
Me? I mean, it honestly, until the... I mean, you don't know until you know.
That's it.
So and for me, it's... This goes up until, in a dating scenario, it's whatever point I'm like, I can't deal with it anymore. That's the point that I can't deal with it anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But in the thought process of dating, I'm really just trying to sum it up until my desire is no longer the overriding factor, and that is marriage. Once marriage occurs for me, my desire no longer is the overriding factor. It's the covenant at that point. So it's... If you make it to the point where we walk down the aisle, you won the game, or you lost the game. I don't know. It just depends on
what your outlook is.
But, you just stuck where you stuck at, and if you're miserable, suck it up.
I mean,
yeah, basically. Basically, sure. You don't want to say,
if that's the spin that you want to put on, sure, yeah. But again, I think that for me, if I've vetted you up to the point where I can do marriage with you, mm-hmm. it's not gonna get that much worse because, I think my skill of talent assessment, mm-hmm. I think I can assess talent well.
Okay. Yeah. Hey. Well, I think just speaking of that too, I think a lot of times some people plateau at a level, like some people don't grow no more. And I don't mean to, like, I'm not saying you won. I'm just saying some people still want something different. And what people don't want to admit a lot of times, like I'm saying with marriage, is like sometimes you just ain't cutting it.
But this is the thing. And that's why I said for me, because we know my belief in marriage, the covenant mm-hmm. overrides anything that I want.
Yeah.
I've committed to God about you. I've committed to God about you.
Mm-hmm.
My wants no longer are a factor at that point. Mm-hmm. I've USMC, you signed the MF and contract.
Yeah.
At that point.
That's it.
I mean, so, but up until you, that's why I say once we walk down the aisle, you won / lost the game with me.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that point, you know, hey.
You can
choose. Your feet smell just a little bad. I can't handle it no more. I thought I could handle it.
Yeah,
it's been a great 20 years, but we didn't make it down the aisle. Yeah. I can't handle your feet stank no more.
Yeah,
or I can't handle the way you, I mean, but after for me, it's at any point up until
marriage,
I'll bounce.
I'm like that too. I just never make it to the marriage aspect. I just go ahead and be like, you know what? You a good person, I'm a good person. Let's just go be good people separate. You know. But I know for this one and the crazy thing, and I'll say as far as the marriage thing goes, I could possibly in my head, when I, the younger me, when I was married, I was willing to go beyond, above and beyond, until it was discovered that that person no longer loved me. So for me, if there's no love, there's no need to go on. Because I probably could still probably be married, going through the same bull crap, but I would be living a completely different, you know what I'm saying? Because I know I, yeah. Yeah, that would just be crazy. You know, because I really wanted, you know, I was, because coming from a broken home, I just really wanted my marriage to work. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, well, you know, all the emotional crap that went with that. And I was like, I don't want to be a woman who's emotionally, like, just distraught from this, that all the emotional, you know. Yeah. So I just thought it was easier to kind of pull the trigger. And ever since then, I've been pulling triggers ever since.
Bang, bang, bang.
Choo, choo, train.
Okay. What is it? We got a tie.
No, wrong one, Larry.
I don't remember. One of them was a good.
He said one of them was a good. But, you know, that's...
Go for, you want me to go to the next one?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure.
Okay. Go. I think this is Kim's favorite dude.
My favorite dude.
Saying what men think but don't want to say about marriage in 60 seconds. Yeah. Let's do it. Number one, marriage doesn't scare men. Losing ourselves does. Most of us are not afraid of commitment, sis. We're afraid of becoming invisible, unheard, or reduced to just the provider. Number two, men don't hate responsibility. We actually hate unappreciated responsibility. The right man gonna carry the weight gladly. Just don't act like it's weightless. Number three, men don't shut down because we don't care. We shut down because honesty feels like it'll turn into a court case. Some silence is self-defense, not neglect. Number four, marriage doesn't kill freedom. Lack of communication does. If a man feels respected, trusted, and desired, he'll go to war for his family without complaining. Number five, men want partnership, not parenting. We don't need another boss. We need a teammate who believes in us and holds us accountable. Number six, and the one nobody says out loud, men want to be chosen daily, not just freaking tolerated, sis. Affection, respect, and admiration matter more than we admit. We're not robots. Boom, saves you silent resentment, mutual communication. Communication. And one, why are you shutting down argument? Now Venmo or PayPal me $5. Saying what?
He always has a little catchy thing. So I like his, as his children play in the background. I'm like,
yeah, right.
He's stuck. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. Well, how do you feel about that, Chris?
He made points that I agree with, and, you know, some just kind of was like, yeah. You know, yeah. But yeah, for the
Chris
most part,
because it's like, I want to be chosen daily. No, I'm just joking.
I'm just saying. Why are we laughing about that?
No, I'm just.
What was
I was
funny
just,
about
no,
that?
No, because I'm not laughing. Because Chris does want to be chosen daily, and that's why I always reassure my brother that he's a sweet, kind person.
You just killed it. You just damn it, man. But no, I agree.
You know, you cut out.
You know, for
he
I
back.
Mean, huh?
No, I said you back. Oh. He said you cut out. I said he back.
Oh, I think. Okay, there you go. But yeah, I agree. You know, but like I said, there's a couple of them. I forget which one it was. They kind of made me just like, you know, what's I don't even know if I'm using it right. What the young folk do? 6-7? Six. I don't know.
I hadn't been in.
No, no. I just see how they be talking about that. Yeah. I don't even really know what it means. But anyway.
No one does.
But yeah, for the most part, I kind of agree with them. You know, I'm not looking for a parent. I'm looking for a partner. You know, the whole, you know, I don't mind carrying it, you know.
But no is weight. Yeah, weight is weight.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I don't mind. But yeah, I agree. I guess because my agreeance outweighs my
dislike
and side face. Yeah.
The agreeance outweighs his grievance.
Yeah.
Doodle-doodle. You up? I'll be here all week.
Well, Lane, what about you?
I'm kind of like Chris on that. Yeah, there's some stuff that, you know. I was like, yeah, I'm 100% on board with that. And then there was a couple of them. It was like, I ain't too sure about that one, bro. But, you know, to each his own.
Mm-hmm. Juan.
So I don't know why, but that was a short clip. And I've kind of felt like Chris and Elle be doing sometimes with the longer clips. I didn't really focus on it.
That's hilarious.
I don't know what happened. I remember his last comment, which I'm cool with the last comment,
which was
choosing him daily.
Okay,
mm-hmm. You want to be chose daily.
I agree with that. I mean, you know.
Well, if that's all you heard, because for me,
you know, any relationship type thing is. It's a daily. I mean, seriously. I mean, any day. You have to choose each other daily.
Daily.
I mean, it's a daily choice.
Because God knows you could choose other people.
Exactly. I mean, you're never stuck in anything.
Exactly.
I mean, we all have autonomy as people. So yeah, to be chose daily. That's about all you can ask.
Cool.
He said that's all I got to say about that.
Roll that beautiful beating.
I'm gonna play because this one I thought was intriguing. I think this one is.
Is that something you sent?
Yeah, it's the one I sent last night.
Oh Lord!
Because I haven't posted a tonight's conversation thing in a while. This was interesting to me. I heard this and I'm like, ooh, okay.
Talky.
All right, here we go.
My friend, she was married for 11 years, and her husband has dementia. But she had to put him in a personal care home. So the question is,
that's a good woman. What's your question?
Do you think it's okay to at least talk with another man just for some type of companionship? And the sex wasn't good when they were married. That's what she said.
It wasn't good.
You don't remember it now anyway.
That's what I'm...
Mandy! Mandy!
Okay, it's till death do us part, right?
Yes.
The death of the mind has occurred.
No! 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 Okay.
Hold on. Okay. Now, as long as she's doing her wifely duty to make sure that he is cared for,
okay,
to make sure that he is washed, to make sure that the bills are paid,
okay,
to make sure that she's sitting by his bedside,
okay,
wiping up his slob and then changing his,
okay,
she could throw her wherever she wants to.
She deserves an orgasm.
Time out. Let's center this. So before I started doing podcasting, I was a registered nurse, and my definition of what love is has been shaped by seeing people love through the sickness part of sickness and health. And I love what you said about seeing through with the care, because the side of that a lot of people don't understand is how difficult that is on the partner.
Yeah.
To see the man you love barely remember you, if at all. And you see that happen slowly over the years. Now, y'all can call me a simp if you want to. I personally wouldn't want my wife to be bound to that. Again, I know we are all different, and this is conversations you have to have, because we're not talking to our spouses about the just in case, because you never know. Maybe that was part of what he would want. I wouldn't want you to be, quote unquote, in this sexless, conversationless marriage, but as long as you got me and you take care of me.
I think that sometimes we forget how significant and how powerful a covenant is. I'm not talking about just a contract. I'm talking about a covenant. I'm talking about when we stand before God and we vow that we're going to honor each other in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, right? Covenant doesn't come from a place of convenience. Can you honor the covenant when it's inconvenient? And so when we marry someone, we enter into a covenant with them between us and God and them, a three-strand cord that cannot be broken. No sickness can break it.
That sounds like what you just said.
Okay, that sums up Juan's...
Yeah, yeah.
And you please go first, but I think you just want to drop the mic. I really think you do.
Actually, initially... When I first heard it, I was like, because I listened to this a couple of times before I posted it in the chat, because I was like, initially I was like, yeah, I agree with what the last dude said. But then I thought about it.
Put the shoe on the other foot, huh?
Well, no. I thought about it and I was like, would I really want the person that I care about to, I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. I would
I would like to think that I would not want my person to have to be, you know, in a conversationless,
neglected,
emotionless relationship through the course of me passing away. So I think I would honestly err more on the side of what Ace said, which I wouldn't expect to hold my partner to that. Mm-hmm. However, I would also think that I had vetted my person to a point where I don't think my person would want to be with someone else while I was still in this plane of existence. I don't know. It's I wouldn't want to hold my person to it, but I don't think that my person, I would think that I would choose a person that, especially during the time where I'm passing away or I'm dealing with my mental stability, would be thinking about anything other than my well-being.
Yeah. And I would kind of agree, because that is
so now Elle is sitting over there looking like I normally be sitting there looking.
Ooh, I need to say something. Nah, I need to say something. I'm exploding.
Good. Nah. But I would think there would be a conversation between the two.
Oh yeah, it's,
you
definitely
know what I'm saying? It, within my, like they said, he's got dementia.
Yeah.
Okay. But within my moment of clarity, because you know dementia kind of like goes in and mm-hmm. out, but within my moment of clarity, that would definitely have to be a conversation.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say that I wouldn't or I would, just like you know you said, Juan, but that would definitely have to be a conversation.
And for me, I would think that's kind of like estate planning type stuff. I've never even thought to have that conversation, but right. I think that's a valid conversation.
That's a valid conversation.
What our seniors say, things that make you go.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I know, just that being said, dating in this period of my life, most of the guys that I know, you know, they're older. They're older guys. So that's stuff that, that's discussion.
Like she's not an older woman, though.
You know, I'm not an older woman. Sure. I haven't yet hit the prime of my life. But, you know, those are conversations that I like to talk about, because, you know, as we get older, you know, our bodies, you know, we know will, you know, be compromised in one way or another. So I know if I'm going to marry somebody at this age, you know, we need to have some stuff kind of, we need to be talking about stuff. And that's the conversations that are very uncomfortable to talk about, but they're very important, because, you know, when you're looking at you almost 60 right now, or you know, that's ages that people start to, you know,
decline.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know for me, you know, not being married, when I meet people that are just like, oh God, like, oh. So those are scary things for me, but they're conversations that I know I would definitely comfortably have with if somebody I was thinking of, you know, marrying or seeing a future with, because, you know, coming from healthcare, it is important that you take care of whoever you do, I guess, marry. But I've seen a lot of different scenarios in healthcare where, you know, That were just questionable.
Kim,
what?
Could you at least answer the question?
What?
Oh, you said a whole lot of words, and sorry. You ain't answered not their part of question.
You forgot the question too. What's the question?
Yeah, I did. I just went all around the world.
I mean,
and
if
I just
you
forgot.
Were, if, how would what would you do in that situation? I guess that's the overarching question. Mm-hmm. And just for me, it's based not, off would self. You ask your would you ask your husband? For me, it's would you allow your husband? What would you do?
Oh, I would definitely want my husband to carry on, because I know I'm an energetic, you know, like, so if I know my husband's used to me, and then I'm just laying there like, you know, drooling and stuff, that's not the capacity that man's used to dealing, you know. So I would really want my husband to move on.
Keep on fucking.
keep on doing something. Just leave me alone, because if you got dementia, one day you might be in fight mode. One day you might be in a complete baby mode. I mean, so the mind is like, I wouldn't want to deal with that. I mean, you know, and I wouldn't want him to deal with that, because I know men think differently than women do.
So you just push me out into the woods, babe? And just,
I mean, if he chose to say, well, no, babe, I wouldn't even know he would choose to say, but that's something that I would think. Though? I don't know.
I mean, you know, you're married. This is your loved one, you know, and you're seeing him go through this change that is fucking crazy.
I don't know, but I do know men that have cheated on their wife all their marriage. And I'm gonna just leave that there. Yeah. So I'm not gonna say, well, that's why. You know, no, you know, sometimes it's, what do you call it? People just feel like it's just an emotional turmoil at that point. So if me and my husband already have established what it's going to be, which of course, I mean, you know, except for me, that's conversations that are important to me, that we would already know that, okay, if I start getting dementia, bro, like, please, I mean, take care of me, make sure I'm straight, but like, live your life. Don't, because I mean, the sad thing, people can have dementia for a long period of time, but you know, still make sure, don't just throw me out on the street, make sure I'm taken care of, but still, you want to be taken care of too, because people still have needs. People still want to have conversations. People still want to, you know, go out to dinner. People still want to, you know, to do. And it's not even, it goes beyond sexual. It goes beyond just simple communication. If having a conversation with your wife is like, you know, that's not, you know, that's not therapeutic. I mean, but just seeing me sitting up there like incapacitated, you know, that's got to be hard, and this is terrible, but I remember working in healthcare, and it was a man. He was married to his wife. She had Parkinson's and dementia, and to me, I thought that was the most disgusting thing ever, but because that was that man's wife, I'll never forget, he would come up there and have sex with that woman, and they would expect us to clean it up, and like, I would always say, don't give me that haul, because that's inhumane to me. Like, she can't say no. She can't say nothing. But we have to clean up. And they're like, well, that's his wife. I don't care. You know, so to that concept, I mean, you know, so that's why I look at it like that. Because if you need that physical, if my husband still needs that physical stimulation or whatever state, and they were older. This man was almost, I don't know. I know she was like in her late 60s. So, but he would still on Saturday every Saturday. I mean, it was crazy. I'll never forget. Her name was Jean, and we would have to get Miss Jean ready. She got her bath first thing in the morning.
Miss Jean, we about to put on your red dress. You know. Slip on them high heels.
And before I started working there, I would always wonder why this woman would always. It was crazy.
Why is she always in the bed like this?
No, but she would always be like, her hand would always be down there. And like I said, so for me, yes, let my husband go and do what he got to do.
And not do it on you.
And not do it on me. Yeah, because if I can't clean my, I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. She was in a facility.
They just had to squash.
They literally expected us to, you know, deal with that. So yeah, I would give my husband, go, if I cannot give you what you need, and I got dementia and I'm all jacked up, go.
But you can't give it. No, I just can't say no.
That's my purpose of saying no. If I don't want to be bothered, leave me alone. No, but if I can't say nothing, leave me alone.
But it's a schedule.
Chief.
Every Saturday night.
It was every Saturday morning.
Oh, wake and wake.
I told you. Every, yeah, I'm going to get up and go to Bojangles, every get me a biscuit, Saturday morning. Coffee, and I'm going to go see your grandma for a couple of minutes.
I'd be like, don't put me on that hall, because I was like, I'm not going to be there. And we'd have to get her washed up and everything.
Wow. So y'all prepped her.
Yeah.
Y'all were fluffers.
And then by the time
we got a garter belt on for you, Mr. Jones, we got a garter belt on. You know, you like that's that
lift belt. I mean, and it's so crazy because he'd be like, so they'd be like,
we know you like them black stockings. We put them on. They'd be like,
when you get Miss Jean ready, make sure you know you put a little bit of lipstick on her. It's Saturday. And I'm like, what the? Well, who cares if it's Saturday?
She
would have to get her, you know, put her little lipstick on and make sure her hair was done, and she'd be just sitting up in the bed, just
catatonic and shaking.
Yeah,
mouth open.
Yeah. No, her mouth wasn't open.
He said, "Nah, I can do that myself."
But I think for reasons like that, that's why, you know, that I wouldn't want to make my husband like just suffer, because some people like being engaged, you know, having conversations, eating dinner, stuff like that. Because when, even though you make that commitment and you know, all that is well and good, but people like companionship. People like, you know, going out and stuff like that. And if I'm just sitting there looking and can't say nothing, I'm drooling or whatever, that's not even a person you married, really. I mean, but I mean, it is. They just deteriorating or whatever.
Yeah, they're kind of in sickness right now.
Yeah, they're definitely in sickness. I mean, you know, I mean, and I know they say in sickness and in health, but if you have already established, you, huh? No, I'm saying if you establish stuff like that, then so be it. But like I said, mind you, I know men who have cheated on their wives all their life, and then when a woman gets sick, they want to be the best man ever. No, bro, keep that same energy, you know. So, you know, but, you know, with that being said, you know, that's just me. When you asked, I answered. Sorry, I wasn't asked. You wanted
to. I mean, I'm just wondering why you have to. I've known men that's cheated on their wives their entire. Who cares? That has nothing to do with what I mean, but there's men that have killed people. There's women that have cheated.
There are people. And then when somebody gets sick, they want to be a good person and be like, well, you know, it's my responsibility. Well, you negated your responsibilities prior to. So now why are you worried about that? But, I mean, you know.
Well, at that point, they still going to be fucking. Because they've been cheating the whole time.
True. Might as well just ride it out.
Just according to your,
get the insurance money and stuff, so everybody can win.
Analysis of the situation.
Yeah,
and you know, in fairness, I mean, you saying that, you know, they've cheated their entire marriage. That don't just because the person is sick. I mean, this is when the whole in sickness. You don't need me to do things when you're feeling good. There's no reason for me to be there attending to your every moment. Yeah. I can be out in these streets.
True. I think
when you can't do, you kind of need me at that point. So this isn't I'm keeping that same energy.
I think kind of like on the same level, Jay Leno's wife is kind of in this situation, the talk show host, C-Suite, whatever. And he said they had reported that he got offended because somebody asked him, why are you going to get a girlfriend now? And he's like, he got offended. It's like, why would I get a girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, because they might have asked you that because you might already have a history of, you know, whatever, or they just might be curious because you're a famous person. You might just still want some companionship, because a lot of times it's not even so much cheating. It's just companionship that people want. So not so much the physicality. Sometimes people just want the companionship, because when you're dealing with, who is that? I think it's Bruce Willis. Yeah, Bruce Willis is the one. And I look at, like, how his wife and his family, like, you know, gather around him and take care of him. I could only imagine how his wife, you know, she probably feels really, really, you know, bad, because she, you know, the character, I can say the character, he always, back in the day, looked like he would be full of life and, you know, just, you know, having the time. And then to have to look at him now, you know, like, not being able to, like, sometimes carry on conversations and kind of be, just in the condition he's in, I mean, you know, I can only imagine. But yes, I know they say sickness and health, but you know, that's, you know, I guess per the individual.
Okay.
You know.
So L, you don't have that explosive look on your face anymore. So
organizing thoughts, man. I see both sides. But at the same time, there's a lot of context that I don't think I got out of the video. So, I mean, if this is a new situation, you know, nah, that's an inappropriate, you know, thought. But, you know, if we're going into, you know, 2 or 3 years with dementia, you know, and
maybe that first year wasn't as bad, but you know, these last 2 years or whatever, it's progressed. Yeah, you know, these last 2 years, you've just been catatonic, and I'm just babysitting you. You know what I'm saying? And even if you have a lot of family around you, you know, they probably got their own families and are gonna go away. In the case of Bruce Willis's wife, well, they got enough money in a big enough house. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody could probably just move into the same house and still have their own.
Yeah, I'm quite sure they got a nurse.
Yeah, you know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I for me, it's like I need to know how long this girl has been in this situation before she's like, okay, you know, is it okay for me to? Because I think at some point in time, yes, you know, it is okay. And I never even thought about what Kim was talking about, and that just seems crazy and weird and damn near illegal.
Yeah, no, but it's not because that's his wife. That's what they kept saying.
Well, see, I had another question after you gave your point that I wanted to
interject. And that's crazy. I mean, because if who was the lady that she was catatonic and, you know, they like sued her husband, the Shively woman. She had like been catatonic.
Maria Shively.
her husband wanted to keep her on life support or something like that, and she had already been on life support for a couple of years, and like they, you know, they condemned him for wanting to leave her on the vent, and it's like, okay, so even with that, like that's extreme, too extreme one way, you know, there's got to be a balance, you know, and that balance is going to be, I guess, up to the individuals, but I don't think it's right to condemn them, you know, for being in a situation that they've been in for a while. You know, it's not going to get any better. I'm already sacrificing as much as I can sacrifice in the name of love and in the name of my vows. Mm-hmm. And now you want me to put an extra toll on myself, an extra mental taxing, by not at least having some basic companionship. And even, you know, even if it ain't companionship, you're still a human. Mm-hmm. And if those urges come up, you know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, yeah, you could probably, you know, self-serve for a while, but, you know, eventually, you know, I think you'll be like, I sure remember when. I wonder if you still feel the same. Mm. I mean, you know, it's and that's a human thing. So, I mean, to condemn somebody for that, I don't think is right. But now if it's like, you know, say if it's an accident, you know, what if it's not dementia? Say it's a bad accident with heavy brain trauma and just going to be a vegetable. Mm. Now, if she's like, okay, well, we got him straight this week, and then she at the club looking for a boyfriend. Yeah, that's wrong. I'd say that's wrong. You know what I'm saying? But if they have went that stretch and honored that vow to the point to where it is, I'm going to say no longer healthy for them, or if it's going to become harmful for them. And by harmful, I don't mean like, oh, they're going to die, because you're not going to die from lack of sex, of course, obviously. You might feel like
you might. All 13-year-olds would be dead if you die from lack of 40, and this ain't never killed nobody.
Well, I mean, you know.
Some people make the head pop off.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, you got to know about cocaine before you can get hooked on it.
True, right? That's right. The truth right there.
Right. Yeah, at least got to try it first to know you like it. So, yes. But, I don't see anything wrong. Like I said, it's a lot of context.
Mm-hmm. So you would give your wife the high sign. I got dementia. Go do your thing, baby. Do your thing.
Well, yes, I would. But at the same time, I'm not going to be that guy that's going to think, I'm not going to be naive enough to think that she's not going to have these needs and these urges or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm more on the lines of, what was it? I guess the second or the third guy. You know, hey, if you're doing what you're supposed to do for me as much as you can and I can't do for you, and especially if this is a long-term relationship, yeah, go get your rocks off, because I ain't coming back. Now, you know, if the doctor's saying, you know, well, this is
30%, but can't you recover from dementia?
No. Dementia is deterioration of your brain. I mean, it's like You know what dementia is?
You know people die from dementia.
I mean, I know chlamydia, people die from it. You can get a pill or something. It's like chlamydia right now.
I thought there was levels to it.
Well, there is. Usually it progresses. Mm-hmm. Like, usually it worsens. And there are medicines that people take
that can slow it down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But
there is no cure.
No.
And it's usually not a long-term survival rate afterwards.
Because it's the brain.
So you can't regress or progress? You can't get mental capacity back?
No.
That's why it's such a bad disease. What? Yeah. Where have you been, dude?
I mean, I just thought that there was medicines and you could gain some functionality back. No,
you can slow the progress
of
the disease. Mm-hmm. Well, you can slow your regression with medication so that you don't regress as fast. But you can't
run from it.
You can't, you know.
You ain't gonna be cured.
You can't go from the 35 and be like, okay, you know, you can't advance back.
You ain't gonna be like Magic Johnson, his HIV, you know, you'll never make it that long with dementia.
Okay.
Yeah, you won't make it that long with dementia.
Yeah. So what did you? I'm sorry.
So now my question. Because this is spurred from Kim's comments.
Oh gosh.
Would you want or would you expect? Because I'm not a dementia expert. I'm assuming that the lights are still on up here, just to a lesser degree.
The lights are on, but ain't nobody home. You can look at, that's still, you can see that person.
So would you expect your significant other to still do their full spousal duties?
No.
That would just feel wrong.
That would be just like what that man was coming there doing with
her. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm like, would you, if my lights are still on, let's say I just can't talk, but you know, I'm, little one still be like, hey man, what's going on down here?
If a woman is drunk and passed out, is it okay to go in there and have sex with her?
That's the same concept.
I'm not a woman.
Well,
No. But I'm saying it's that.
Ladies, if you ever find me drunk and passed out,
know that it is okay.
But I give you the high side.
But if it come up, it's your job to get
there
it.
There you go. Right. That's basically what he's saying. look.
So is that what you're saying? You want to, you know, little tug every now and then if you out?
Juan's saying.
I mean, I was not thinking a tug.
I was thinking some fellatio. Over there.
Some normal, you know, whatever.
And they visit each other, and all of a sudden, the bottom part of that sheet rises up. She got to excuse the nurse and hop on.
Let's just
say. Or have the nurse join in. I mean, as long as it's a lady nurse.
Let's just say, with men, that's usually like one of the last things. If they don't have like no type of erectile dysfunction, anything like that.
I mean, don't make me go with blue balls. I mean, I'm already crazy.
Y'all will get erect, especially like them little old men. And I just be looking like, move that thing out of the way and just let me. Okay, I'm trying to clean
you. I like Miss Kim.
You know, because I'm like, okay, sir, you're in poop. You got to be clean. And they like, oh, you know, but you can tell their mind is not there. Like, so there's no, the lights are on, but nobody's home.
But once you get done cleaning my ass,
you know, so it's like, no.
Take care of this for me, please. If somebody home down there,
no.
If the lights come on, no. Somebody home.
You
Tombo that. I'm leaving the lights on for you.
Definitely not. Definitely not. But I think.
So I'm alone on this one. I'm the only one that'd be like,
I agree.
That's part of your wifely duties. I don't just want you to clean me up. Handle but if the lights come on.
Yeah, because
might as well. Ain't no need of me not being able to form full thoughts and having blue balls. That's all I'm saying.
But you're really not going to probably. And like I said, it's.
I don't want to take no chances. Because I don't know what goes on in the mind of a dementia patient. But I do know what happens when I'm a rat. I know what that means. So all I'm saying is if my wife, if I've given you the freedom to go and relieve yourself.
Nurse Pat, can you excuse us for a minute?
Go ahead and free myself.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
If you don't want me, then don't talk to me.
But if you don't want me, then don't talk. Go ahead and free yourself. But
exactly. Go ahead and free yourself. You know,
with that, if you. Most, I'm going to say with dementia, your hands still work. You ain't just sitting there like in a vegetative state.
Okay, so this is part of my whole thought process with marriage. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to self-serve if I'm married.
If I got a self-serve and I'm married, why am I married to you? That's one of the things that come along.
So you think
I should not have to self-serve?
So then you think
you should fix my plate. Divorce.
This moral school okay, said you should fix my plate.
Next. I'm done. Next. Next.
All right, I'm officially checking out.
Look, I think we all are checking out. Because Juan and this dementia thing isn't doing well. Yeah.
She just said, you got to fix my plate.
So what? I'm the only one who thinks that. What?
Obviously.
I'm not alone in that?
Yes, yeah, Juan. Yeah, you're alone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I like the analogies, bad. Though. That's don't get me wrong. I love
but for me, that's just as bad. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you might have just.
Yeah.
Hey, she might be fucking up a wet dream.
Touche?
Yep.
That's bad. But where are we at?
Yeah. The end.
I need a drink.
The end. And that's just a hard way to go. Oh. So on that note, we're just gonna finish and we'll continue next week. Oh, wait a minute.
That's the last one
we're gonna do for today. Chris tried to smoke the mic again. Yeah, we gotta go because we think Chris's mind, something's going on. We need to see what's going on with him. He trying to smoke his microphone.
Hope it ain't the early onset dementia, because then you don't get no more relief after you get dementia, evidently.
I rebuke that, Chris. Don't you worry about it. We're going to always give you a vape. Look, we're going to always give you a vape to suck on, so you'll be all right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You can be in the, with a straw tone. What is Chris doing? It's just his vape. No, it's a straw. It's his vape.
Leave me alone.
But thank you guys, as always, for your support. Check us out
do Instagram. On Instagram at 3SGpod. Or you can get us anywhere you get your podcast. Mm-hmm. Or you can go directly to our website, 3SGpod.gray, the number 8FAM.com. That's 3SGpod.gray8fam.com.
Ha ha. And Larry is pushing buttons now. But we hope you guys have a great week. While Larry pushes buttons, he's trying to find the button he was looking for.
Shut up. Damn it.
Okay. Now he's found his buttons. Larry's back.
Shut the fuck up.
I know that's right.
We will talk to you guys next week. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.